You know, it's amazing. Well, for Harry and Grayson, while they're there, I mean, they don't have time to get it. They don't have time to do a bunch of study and get the, you know, Bible courses, and you know, they're just giving what they have. And that's something, is that, you know, when you put into people, and when you get put in those situations, what you have is what you give. And so it's been neat to see what's in them, and you know, it's a reflection of this church, a reflection of you. And I believe that doors are opening up for Good News Church and people of Good News Church. And so these are exciting days. If you have your Bibles, let's turn over to 1 John chapter 4. I love the Gospel of John. I love John's other book, you know. Good stuff. Spent a lot of time reading in his writings. But 1 John 4, verse 7 says this, "Beloved." Turn to your neighbor and say, "Beloved." Isn't that sweet? "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Everybody say, "God is love." You know, that's a pretty amazing statement. God is love. God is love. And of course, we know this word love is the word agape. He is unconditional love. And if we had the time, I mean, I could do a study on that, take you through the Word of God and look at God's character, look at God's nature. There's a lot of statements like that that we could make. I mean, we could say, I mean, He is love. He is mercy. He is grace. You know, the fullness of what these words, and we need revelation from God to even have an understanding of these words. But God is that. He is truth. He is life. He is peace. He is provision. On the Old Testament, they even have different names for God. You know, Jehovah Shalom, God is peace. Jehovah Rapha, He is our healer. God, our healer. Jehovah Jireh, God is my provider. The names of God. I mean, this is who He is. This is His nature. He's healing. He's truth. He's life. He's creativity. I mean, that's a part of God, is our creative nature. Created this world. And the picture of God even becomes clearer as we read about Jesus. Let's look over in John 14, Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 7, says this, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father." Now that's a good question, isn't it? Show us the Father, show us God, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works." So Jesus came to show us the Father. He came, and again, so those things that I mentioned about God, His nature was in Jesus. And so the same things that was in the nature of God, the Father, was in Jesus. And then the Bible says He went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed by the devil. He raised the dead, cleansed the leper, delivered people, set people free, provided for people. All the very same things that was in the nature of God, He demonstrated in His life and in His ministry. Is that right? So He's saying to His disciples, if you want to know what the Father looks like, look at me. I am a human, a person on this earth demonstrating who God is. But the thing about Jesus is he came to do something even greater than just show us what God was like. He came to do something greater so that it would have a greater impact on our lives. Of course, that was good. But let's look at John 10:10 now in light of what we just said. John 10:10, which is like one of our theme verses here. I mean, this verse will really help you if you have any trouble about who God is or who the enemy is, who the devil is. I mean, this verse is a great verse. And if you wonder about what's happening in your life and things that you're going through, you wonder if it's from God or if it's from the devil, this is a great verse for you. John 10:10, the thief. Who's the thief? Who's the thief? Just trying to see if you're awake here today. Some of you have been on vacation, maybe a little sluggish today. That's okay. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's his mission. That's what he does. And so if things in your life have the earmark of stealing, killing, and destroying, that's not God doing that. That's the devil. But you know, we blame God for a lot of things the devil is doing. You know, my grandmother believed that sickness was something sent by God to teach us a lesson, to help us to suffer and to learn things that we could only learn by suffering. And she was a godly woman. She loved God. She loved Jesus. Faithful church attender and all these different things. But the thing that I don't understand about that is if she believed that, why did she go to the doctor? I see her take her pills. I mean, why would you do that if this is from God? See, it doesn't just make any sense. And so if you think something's from God, are you going to resist it? You have to know what to accept and what to resist. And I know it gets confusing. It does. I know there's a fine line with things. And the enemy is the author of confusion. And people are just flat out confused. And how about this? How about preachers? Preachers are some of the most confused people I know. The things that have been preached in the name of God, I mean, it's embarrassing. It really is. Probably some, I mean, and throw out all my old CDs, because I'm sure I was right in there with the best of them. Hopefully I'm better now. Thank you for that vote of confidence. So then Jesus says, I have come. This is why he came. I have come that they may have life. Who may have life? People, the world, right? I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And again, this word abundantly, overflowing, more than enough. This word life in the Greek is the word zoe. And what this word means is the God kind of life. The God kind of life. God's life. And it's something that you possess when you receive it and you continually have it, and you have it even after you die. It's eternal life. And eternal life doesn't start when you get to heaven. It starts the moment that you receive it. So Jesus came to give us the God kind of life in abundance. in overflow, and more than enough. He came to give us God's life. So if we're going to be life givers, I mean, this is pretty important for us to know. Christianity is not about what you don't have and you're trying to get. And I think that's where a lot of people in the church are. It's about what they don't have and what they're trying to get. Christianity is about what you have in Christ. It is about what you already possess the moment that you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, and you spend the rest of your life and the rest of the eternity figuring out what you got the day that you were born again. And it's not a life of just trying to strive and get. And I think a lot of people are frustrated about what they don't have or what they don't see in this natural realm. But you've got to start focusing on what you have in Christ, who you already are. Jesus came to give us this life, and this life more abundantly. John 20, verse 30 says this, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe." Do I have any believers in the house today? Any believers that Jesus came to this earth, that God came to this earth as a man, that he lived, that he died, that he was crucified, and that he was raised on the third day? Do we have any believers in the house? Any people believe it's the resurrection power is still alive 2,000 years ago? It happened 2,000 years anyway, whatever, you know what I mean. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life. You may have Zoe. You may have the God kind of life in His name. Let's go back another, staying in John. 1 John 5. We just read these all day. 1 John 5. But see, you have to know this. You have to get this in you. You have to counteract the world. You've got to counteract this natural world, because this natural world will try to tell you that it's greater than the spirit realm. But the spirit realm is greater than the natural realm. It's more real than this, than what we can feel or taste or, you know, it's greater. And everything tries to pull us away from spiritual things. And we have to have, on purpose, get back into our position of who we are and who we are in Christ. 1 John 5, verse 11. This is the testimony, in essence. Reading from the Message translation. God gave us eternal life. God gave us eternal life. The life is in His Son. So whoever has the Son has the life. Not trying to get it. Not hoping maybe have it one day when we go to the great by and by. We have the life right now. Turn to your neighbor and look at him and say, "You've got the life." And how about this? "You've got the life, baby." Whoever rejects the Son rejects life. My purpose in writing is simply this, that you who believe in God's Son will know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life, the reality, and not the illusion. You've got the life of God in you. You've got eternal life on the inside of you. You've got the God kind of life. God lives in me. Jesus lives in me. The Holy Spirit lives in me. All that He is in me. His peace, His grace, His truth, His mercy, His provision, His healing, His power, His deliverance is in me. He's in you. That life is in me. It's in you. Holiness is in us. We're not sinners. We were sinners, but we were saved. And now we're in Christ, and He's made us holy. Well, Pastor, if this is true, why aren't I walking in the fullness of this? Why aren't I seeing the life of God in my life in a greater degree? Well, it's the same thing. Jesus, the Bible says, He had to grow in favor and in truth, in knowledge. He had to grow in His knowledge of who He was and what He had and what He can do. And it's the same way the Bible calls that renewing of the mind. See, our spirits are born again. Our spirits are made new creations. But our soul is not. Our bodies are not. They're not changed in a moment. That the resurrection power, although initially may affect those things, we've got to come then and do our part, which is believing. We have to do our part, and we got to wash the mind. We got to wash the soul. We got to bring feed on the Word of God. We've got to grow. Hey, when I started pastoring 20 years ago, could I have started that moment walking in the fullness of the pastor's office? Well, I mean, I couldn't, but I could really. If I knew what I was doing, I didn't know a lot of things then. You probably think I don't know a lot of things now. Susie, you're so encouraging today. You're too agreeable. I could if I knew it, the moment I started as pastor, I could have walked in the full authority of that office. But I had to learn. I had to grow. It was all there already. And it's the same way here. Is this life of God's on the inside of you, but you've got to tap into it. You've got to renew your mind. You've got to talk to yourself. The world's talking to you. And hey, Bob Widener? Bobby. Resurrection life is on the inside of you. The life of God is on the inside of you. All that God is on the inside of you. And so we learn to tap into that. It's you know, it's like we're drilling for oil, we're drilling for what's already in us. Holiness is in us, peace is in us, grace is in us, love is in us, healing is in us. And you know, and Harry and Grayson, you know, the things they've learned, and so what they have in them is coming out in India. Maybe even things they didn't even know they had. It's in there. A demand is being placed on what's in them, and life is coming forth. And you can be trained and skilled in these things. You can be trained and skilled in walking in life and in giving life. 2 Peter. Man, I'm way ahead of myself here today. Maybe we'll just wrap up early. A lot of smiles there. Yeah, okay. Okay, let's do that. 2 Peter 1. See, the devil has lied to us. Religion has lied to us. And it goes back to the garden, tempted Adam and Eve with something they already had. Tempted them with something they already had, but they didn't fully understand it. The devil was able to make them feel that they were inadequate, that they were lacking. And he's doing the same thing today to the church. And because of that, the church has no power. Because of that, the church is intimidated. We don't want to offend the devil. We don't want to make the devil mad. We don't want to stir anything up. And the way it's portrayed is the devil has more power than God. We should be afraid of the devil. Well, I've got good news for you today. Jesus defeated the devil 2,000 years ago. He whooped him. He defeated him thoroughly. And it says in the Bible that he paraded Satan naked. That's a humiliation. Paraded him naked through the streets of hell and really through heaven. He was defeated 2,000 years ago. He's got no power in your life unless you let him have power. My Bible says the greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is the eternal life on the inside of me. Greater is the power of God on the inside of me. You see, death and sickness and poverty and lack and sin, these are not the earmarks of the believer. That's not who you are. That's the earmarks of the devil. And the devil's trying to make you think that's who you are. But he's a liar. That's not who you are. You are not a sinner. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are His son and daughter. You have the life of God on the inside of you. You've got resurrection power residing in you. You can do exploits for the kingdom of God. You can do great things. Not just some anointed person that's a pastor or a minister. Is anybody even awake here today? I'm talking about everybody. I'm talking about you. This is the big deal. Greater works than these you shall do. You shall do. These signs will follow those who believe. What? Believe that they got the resurrection power on the inside of them. Believe that God will back them up. Have you found Second Peter yet? I'm just in a ranting, raving kind of mood today. And we just take it all for granted here. We don't realize what we have. But what would happen if all the believers in the world would get a hold of this message? It would rise up and be, how long would it take to win the world? Supposedly 1 billion Christians. We have people in here that have 100s. We don't need 1 billion. Just say, how about 100 million? And so we got to decide. And it's not popular what we're trying to do here. This is not popular. Because there's a whole lot of people in church today, they don't want to go to a place where anything's required of them. They want to be entertained. They want all just lined up for them. They want all the programs. They want to be served. and get their, you know, check their box off and go about their week and be a good person. And that's great. And I'm not against anybody that's trying to do something for God. But that's not what we're doing here. Is just trying to make it so comfortable for you. It's just all so nice so you can be a good person. Trying to raise up life givers. And in the process, and I know many people come here, they don't have life. You know, some of the testimonies that Susie was reading. I mean, you may be here today. Just stick with us. Just come and keep on hearing. Keep on feeding. That life's going to get in you. And when you begin to realize it's not you and all your giftings and all your abilities and all your knowledge, when you just realize it's just God working in you and God working through you, I mean, things begin to change. Because I know, like when I'm speaking, that life is flowing in this place. I believe that. And you can believe it. When you're talking to somebody at the restaurant today, that same life, you just know it's just flowing. You don't got to convince anybody. You don't have to persuade anybody. You don't have to make them get saved. It's just in you, and it just comes bubbling out. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which you have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped corruption that is in the world through lust. It's not your nature to be a sinner. It's not your nature to hurt people. It's not your nature to be ugly. You may do those things, but I want to give you some hope. If you're dealing with some things that you don't like about yourself, some ugly parts of our nature, keep on washing with the water of the Word. Keep on washing your soul. Keep on, don't give up. Don't give into that. That's not who you are. That's not who he made you to be. He made you an overcomer. He made you more than a conqueror. He made you to be like Jesus. You are a son and daughter of God. So don't give into that. Don't have that pity part and say, well, that's just my destiny. They're all special people, but that's not me. No, that's a lie. That's who you are. You're a Jesus person. God's on the inside of you. His nature is on the inside of you. We need to rise up and believe it. We need to start talking to ourselves. We need to look in the mirror every day and say, God lives in that person. And wherever I go today, Jesus goes. And that scripture in Acts 10:38, that's my scripture. I go about doing good and healing all those that are oppressed by the devil, for God is with me. God's anointed me with the Holy Ghost and power. Are you liking this today, Houston? Are you believing it? Come on, Parker. Ow! Parker and I usually have a big connection, man. When we, bam! We'll work on that a little more. All right, well, how do we release this power? How do we release this life? I'm going to sit down over here. How do we release the life that's in us? Well, let me ask you a question. How did you receive it? How did you receive eternal life the first when you were born again? Romans 10, believed in my heart, confessed it with my mouth. We call that faith. That's what faith is. It's believing and confessing. And it's the same way here. with the promises of God. We believe it. We speak it. So if we're going to be life givers, we're going to have to be skilled with our mouths. We're going to have to be skilled in what we say to people. Jesus said in John 6:63, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." That word life is the word Zoe. And to realize the power of our words. To realize when we come on the scene, Jesus comes on the scene. And to be skilled in what we say. We can bring healing. We can bring, the things of the enemy as well. How many know that's true? You ever gone into a place where you can almost just feel the atmosphere because of the words being spoken? Because death's been spoken? You ever been there? You ever been at the office when that's happening? How about in your home? It's a tangible thing. We should have life in our home. And it's not about how pretty your home is and whether you have the latest and greatest and stainless or not stainless. It's about the life of God in your home. In what we say to each other, in what we speak matters. And it's not complicated to share the gospel with people. It's just we have to do it. We have to be bold and step out and do it. And you don't have to have it all down and all figured out on how you do it. Just realize that life's going forth. In this life-giving initiative, we're learning to tap into the life of God that is in us and release it to help others. Catch that? This life, we're talking about what we're doing on Wednesdays, this life-giving initiative. We are learning to tap into the life of God that is in us and release it to help others. And then here, we're also talking about, we have CADA, another thing we're talking about. We've got a mandate to train people to be able to train others to go to the places and train people how to do it. That's some other skills that are needed. But I desire, and I know that God desires this, and I feel this is needed for every disciple. If you call yourself a disciple, he said in Matthew 28, he didn't say to make converts. He didn't say to make converts. He said to make disciples. And that's what we're to be doing, is to be making disciples. I desire that everybody here at Good News Church, if you're a member here at Good News Church, that every one of us can get somebody born again. That you'd be comfortable in that, that you'd be skilled in that, to do that. And really, that's the desire of every believer. I desire that everyone here could get somebody baptized in the Holy Spirit. It is so easy to do it. Once you've done it once, you're in. And we need that. And we think that it's not that important right now, but a lot of people don't know about it, haven't heard about it, and God's going to use you to get the message out to others. You see the effectiveness of this church, what happens if everybody here was trained in this, how the impact of this church would be much greater than what we do on a Sunday? Can you see God's plan? If we all go out and we know 100 to 150 people and you're all going out doing this, you see how the influence, how it just compounds? I desire every one of us to be able to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. It's not a gift. There are gifts of the Spirit and wants you to flow in the gifts of the Spirit, but you just, because of the Word, because of the life of God in you, because of what it says in Mark 16, they shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That everybody here believes they can do that. That every one of us here can bring the power of God on the scene because you're there. Whether it's at work, at school, at the restaurant, wherever you are, eternal life is in you. God's in you. You're a life giver. You bring the power of God with you wherever you go. I've been thinking about this song. You want me to sing for you? You know the song, Spring Up, Oh Well? Lord, you're going to have to help me. This is not my gifting here. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well, within my soul. Spring up, oh well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well, and give to me that life abundantly. I was auditioning. Don't you love that?
Yes.
I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I got a river of life flowing up, flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well, within my soul. Spring up, oh well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well, and give to me that life abundantly.